This is the podcast that rocked for August 13th, 2024. My name is Luke, host of the YouTube channel Rocks. We cover everything in rock, alternative metal, and everything in between. Again, my name is Luke.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Rowan.
There we go. See, I messed up because, again, OBS keeps that set up with the mic, but I fixed it way earlier this time. And now I know people can hear me.
Woo!
If you're in the chat room, go ahead and just let us know if there's any audio issues. So I already see someone commenting Nine Inch Trons. Okay, let's save the puns for the actual discussion. Hope you all are doing well. Thank you guys for tuning in last week and spreading the word. It was noticed. We had a big bump in podcast listens themselves, which was very nice. Goal for today. If we get 42 likes on the podcast while we're live, we will play Festival Rock or Flop, where we build a one-day festival and see if it's something we would actually want to go to. Last time we did two because it was the initial introduction. One of them, we barely just was a flop, and the other one was such a bad flop that even the two of the three hosts here were trying to think of reasons not to go.
Make that one for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will leave the country just so I don't have a reason to go. Gotcha.
Sorry, out of the country.
I could still see your IP address. You're actually here. Yeah. Oh, they extradited you for a festival.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone's saying the podcast audio is good. Thank you guys for confirming that too. That does help a ton. So we could get into it right now, but is there anything else you guys would like to say before we get going right into the news? Nope. Good. Thank God. Yeah. And sometimes it's nice to have a calm, peaceful weekend. Like sometimes I want you guys always air anything to get it off your chest if there is something bad. However, I just want to make sure we're all good. Keep spreading the link. Keep sharing the links. Keep hitting the like button. Always helpful when you guys do that.
I have something.
Okay, go ahead.
I do have something. Okay. So last week I said, remember we were talking about Aerosmith?
Yes.
And we were talking when he's doing the, I said it was a salt packet, but I just wanted to clear the air and go on record to say it was actually a sugar packet. That's it. All I have to say.
I will take down.
I
will take
week.
Down last week's podcast to make sure that no one gets miscommunicated on that.
We need to redact everything.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, no, for real.
Our integrity,
I mean, your credibility is now in question. Yeah.
Man. Okay.
Sorry.
How dare you mistake salt for sugar? Yes. Sugar for salt. Oh, shit.
I think other than that, we're good. We're already at 25 likes, so keep that up, guys. We only need, 17 more?
22? Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. That was fast.
Now I got to know, am I right or is Alex right?
No, it's 17. I didn't say a number.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, we're going to 42.
No, you said
gotcha,
25. Gotcha. We need 17.
Yeah, we
left,
need 17.
Right?
Yes, correct. 17 more to go. Okay. All right. That's enough of that. No more shenanigans by that, because now we have two things to talk about regarding heavy music in the world of film. The main one being Nine Inch Nails is going to score the new Tron movie. I think that's awesome. I think it's perfect as well. I'm going to read a little bit of a blurb. The core members of band Reznor and Atticus Ross have scored more than a dozen films from 2010's The Social Network to this year's Challengers. I heard that was good, but I didn't see it. But the new Tron movie will be the first score attributed to Nine Inch Nails. It will also feature new original songs from the band, its first since the fifth and sixth installment of the Ghost series released in 2020. So that answers a lot of questions right there. This is a Nine Inch Nails score, not like it's always been with Soul and The Social Network, where it's Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross. This is Nine Inch Nails. We're getting new NIN music, finally. Now, two questions I have for both of you. One, have you seen either of the two Tron movies before? Tron from decades ago and Tron Legacy in 2010?
No.
No?
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I remember watching Tron Legacy when it came out, because I was like nine. I've never seen the original with Jeff Bridges.
Okay.
There was a Disney animated show or Disney XD for like a couple years or something like that. Huh. And I remember liking that.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like, I know it's kind of like the Matrix, where you're kind of like in this sort of like program, really. You're not like,
yes, yeah.
You're not like in a physical body, but like, you know, that's about it. It's just still cool that like on a Disney presentation of all things, we had Nine Inch Nails. That's correct. Just like,
I think that's awesome.
I don't know. That was just the coolest thing ever.
I mean, they're going to capitalize that on an actual soundtrack with a two that's going to be available somehow, which I think is killer. Here's the thing, though. This is the movie part of it. I've seen both. I saw the original Tron years ago. Great idea. Not that much fun to watch.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. The speeder bikes and all the memes and stuff like that. It's all there. But once you see those,
the 1970s?
Yeah, the original. Yeah.
Yeah, no, of course, like that for those type of effects.
Yes, it was like a spectacle for that.
Rarely hold up.
It wasn't that entertaining besides that, though. I saw Tron Legacy. The special effects, the world was amplified. Still wasn't that exciting to me for a movie. Like they just relishly doubled down. So
I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm looking at the chat. Some of the people are some of the people remember the show, too. It's called Tron Uprising. And I did not know this. It featured Elijah Wood and Aaron Paul as voice actors. So we had Frodo and Jesse
Pinkman. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Huh. OK. Thank you, chat, for letting us know that part. So, yes, it was decades ago. Someone said, way to make me feel old, chat. That was in the 80s. Sorry, I can't control when the movie was made. However, the cool thing about Tron Legacy, that soundtrack was made by Daft Punk. So this is not a new thing for the Tron franchise. Now this is number 3. Nine Inch Nails is the perfect band, as my co-hosts have already suggested. I think that's great. I think they're going to do a great job like they always do with the other films. The fact that this is Nine Inch Nails music, though, like this is actual industrial metal, industrial heavy music for the movie, is going to make this something way different in tone, I hope. Returning Jeff Bridges, who's a great actor, and this is the second part of this where it goes into the music category in question. The star of the movie, the Joker, Morbius, Mr. Cultist Island himself, Jared Leto, however you want to
pronounce him best as Paul Allen.
Paul Allen, sure. See, I am very, how do I put this politely? I am not super optimistic about what we're going to see just because of the Tron history. And I get Disney's doubling down to Disney's beyond wealth and making movies left and right for anything. They just helped release Deadpool and Wolverine. I mean, they can do whatever they want now.
I will say, I feel like they would allow like the creators, like, you know, to like have to kind of like, you know, play with the movie to like the way they want to. Like, cause like, I don't feel like Tron has like that name recognition to kind of like, you know, be seen as like a nostalgic property or be like, or be seen as like a big cash grab, if that makes sense. You know, it's just like 14 years since the last movie. And
yes, yeah. The thing is, though, the way they've already advertised it with just such little, they announced it at the Disney, what is it, D24, whatever it was, where they announced all the upcoming movies and there's a million of them. I mean, there's cool stuff. There's wild stuff. They're making Toy Story 5, you know, all this wild stuff. And this was one of them. And it's a big one just for that alone. Yeah. And they announced that with Nine Inch Nails, which is great recognition. I just don't know what to expect for the movie. Go ahead.
Announcing Nine Inch Nails for Tron at D23 is huge because, like you said, with, you know, Disney kind of on this Deadpool Wolverine thing, they're going a little more edgy. And I like this. And I like that they're actually doing the Nine Inch Nails thing for this one. It's going to be super exciting.
It is, definitely. And I get that Disney is now in so many different categories, you know, Marvel, Star Wars. I think National Geographic is working on something with them as well. And then all the other things Disney owns, like ESPN and ABC, it's everywhere. Disney's going to it's going to be Disney, Google and Amazon that owns everything in the world in like 20 years. That's it. Including music, too.
Did you guys see Deadpool and Wolverine?
Oh, on opening weekend.
Not yet.
Okay. X-Men fanatic. So I had to see it opening weekend with my wife. So no spoilers. This is enough I can say. You will not be able to keep up with the amount of cameos.
Nice.
You just won't. Lose track. So
one of the cameos, I'm not going to say it for this because Alex said she hasn't seen it either. But one of the cameos was ruined just because I was doom scrolling on Instagram one day and I was like,
yeah,
crap.
Now that it's
I did see most of them on accident too. So
Okay. So you already know about a lot of them. Yeah. It's so many.
I think most of them.
And they all like make sense in the world of Deadpool. So just keep that in mind too. But you get exactly what you want.
A couple of Guinness World Records were broken because of some of these cameos. One of these cameos in particular. And I think that's super rad. I thought that was really fun.
I do too. I think that was awesome. And also it broke a lot of box office stuff too. Also a good amount of alternative and rock in there. I won't spoil anything, but there's a good soundtrack for Deadpool and Wolverine as well.
either of you had to guess, how many F-bombs do you think were in Deadpool and Wolverine?
Oh, they counted. I don't remember the number, but they did count, and they listed it because it set a record for any for a lot of different stuff like that, for any Marvel movie, obviously. Disney, obviously. It's well over.
I was about to say, like, as a Disney, it's now like, is it now like, is it really now classified as like a Disney Marvel movie? You know, that's like,
yes. Deadpool is now a Disney princess. That is canon.
Okay, cool. Because I'm about to say, like, it's like there were F-bombs in the first two Deadpools too, and all that stuff. And it's not like this is the first R-rated movie from a Marvel property. We had Logan a couple years back too, so it was like, yeah, no, seriously, like, I just knew that this was like, this is supposed to be the one where it's like the first Disney one, like Disney is back in now. So it's just like, it's just cool. And also the we had like the first F-bomb ever in Guardians of the Galaxy 3 last year as well.
Yes.
I was scrolling on Disney Plus and I'm like, holy cow, I never thought in 1,000 years I would be scrolling through a Disney platform and see, oh, Deadpool. And oh, it's
there's
new.
There's a lot of R-rated stuff on that now. A lot.
There is now. Yes. I don't really dig into like watching movies very often, but I was watching, you know, I was scrolling the other day and I'm like, okay, this is new. And so I did go and see. I still haven't seen the movie, like I said, but I did find out how many F-bombs were in the movie.
Yeah.
So it was 118.
I just knew it was over 100, but yeah. And believe me, they take use of it throughout the movie. It's not just like one crazy fight scene. It's throughout.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and the funny thing is there are so many other movies because I went down a rabbit hole and I'm like, I wonder how many F-bombs are in a bunch of other movies. And they didn't even come close to scratching the surface compared to some of these other movies.
Not even close. So
if I do have like a funny story about like the South Park movie from like the 90s, there is a rule with the rating system that if your movie has 400 swear words, it will get an NC-17 rating. So it's just kind of like a screw you to that rule, and just seeing how arbitrary like that rule kind of like goes after a while, or just like how inconsequential. They use 399 swear words like intentionally.
That does sound like something made sure. Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Think about it. It's just like, but again, it's just like the absurdity. It's just like, oh yeah, one more F-bomb would have made this too bad.
Yep.
It's all like about when they have to squeeze the one in for a PG-13.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
And it's going to be PG-13 anyway, but we have to squeeze it in.
Yeah. They rely on that too now. So Tron Ares featuring Nine Inch Nails in the soundtrack and 30 Seconds to Mars, Jared Leto. Maybe he'll have a song on there. It'll be a weird collaboration. I don't know if it would work. I don't know if that would work or not. That's why I titled it 30 Seconds to Nine Inch Nails for the title. Would that work? Because I don't think it would. Not now. You know what I mean?
I feel like Jared can at least, if Jared like offered vocals for like a couple tracks or something like that, I feel like he could do it. He, for all we could say about Jared Leto, I feel like he's actually like a decent vocalist.
When he tries to sing, when he wants to.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
well, I was going to say, they keep nodding to very Pretty Hate Machine era stuff. I mean, they keep nodding. They've nodded to, you know, obviously they quoted Head Like a Hole when they announced it. Nine Inch Nails announced this themselves. And so I'm hoping and thinking, because Pretty Hate Machine is my favorite Nine Inch Nails album. So I'm hoping they kind of go back to that era and more of that kind of sound. And I don't know if that would mesh well with Jared Leto's vocals.
Now, I was in the exact opposite direction. I was thinking this would be like more techno based, like with Tief or something like that. I don't know. Just like, I feel like just Tron as a property would make more sense to kind of go the more electronic route.
Oh, I totally think so, too. But I wish I was hopeful.
See, I could actually see it going,
but I think it would be awesome.
I can see it going grittier for the sole reason that it was Nine Inch Nails label. If it was just Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross soundtrack again, then I could see them doing the more electro whatever stuff. The fact that it has the NIN stamp, I can see Tron being a little bit grittier, making it sound dystopian with industrial and a hard rock edge, even to Downward Spiral level, even to the EPs of those early years, you know? I don't know.
I think it would harken back to as far as Pretty Hate Machine.
Maybe it would be more like the Fragile.
Okay, Pretty Hate Machine, but with saxophone, because you know he's not giving up the saxophone right now. That's a good compromise. Now we're just talking, that's fine. So
now we're just saying what Nine Inch Nails specific albums we want it to sound like. It's like,
hey, if we're unsure about the movie, at least give us the good music. Give us the good soundtrack.
Yeah.
So
I'm thinking now maybe we'll go the grittier route, but I'm thinking more like the fragile. It's kind of like something in between, you know?
Yes. And that would work, too. That's a good compromise. Also, movie doesn't come out until October 2025. So we do have a bit of time. However, the fact that this is all set in stone, production's going, Disney's behind it. The third Tron movie, Trent Reznor certified. You'll hear a lot of, I guess it's not elder emos. I don't know what the term would be, swooning in the theaters whenever they hear Trent's voice. So I don't know. It could happen. That also gives hope that Nine Inch Nails will tour next year as well to help promote that music. It's been way too long since Nine Inch Nails has done a proper tour. So that being said, anything else for our Tron fans out there? Oh, someone said no saxophone slander, please. Okay. No, I'm for it. I'm fine with him playing the saxophone all he wants.
I didn't pick up on any slander. I was all for it.
Yeah, exactly. We know better than to slander saxophone. There's too much good saxophone right now in heavy music, so works for me. Everything else should be good. So, see, that was some positive news. Last week, we had a lot of negative stuff. This week, we had a positive thing. Isn't that nice? Isn't that something we can actually... Yeah, right? Isn't that something we can actually get behind? So, keep in mind, 42 likes. We'll play Festival of the Rock or Flop at the end. Thank you, guys. We're at 35 right now, so hit the like button. It does help out a lot, too. There's over 50 of you in chat, so thank you guys also for hanging out with us. So, final thing, if you guys do have any super chats, we'll read them at the end, give your name out, and YouTube memberships. That's how we get paid the fastest. YouTube ad revenue is so bad that we will probably starve to death, including the puppy right behind me. Please make sure that the pupper is fed. You can see him right here, lying on the ground. So, moving on, we now go to potentially huge news. And I say potentially because we were not given the full story yet. But Mike Shinoda made a big statement to his fans and the people in Linkin Park's club and all this other stuff, especially on Mike Shinoda's sites. Hey, everyone, I've been locked away in the lab for a while in between a couple summer trips. So many exciting things planned for you. He doesn't do this that often. So all the rumors this past year about Linkin Park returning with a female singer to help replace Chester and go forward from there. And this paired with it is potential. No guarantee. Don't quote us on this. Potential new Linkin Park or Mike Shinoda solo stuff, Fort Minor stuff, whatever. But if it is Linkin Park, my question for you two. Would a female singer to replace Chester going forward work?
I do think it would work.
Okay.
Now, rumors for specific female vocalists that they've kind of, you know, like fans have, oh, I think it's so-and-so, I think it's so-and-so. Yeah. So far, any of those, I don't think would be a good fit. But a female vocalist overall, I think it would work. I don't know if they would do it, honestly. But I do think it could work just because some of those songs, I've seen some footage of, I don't remember who she was, but she did some guest spots with Linkin Park and it sounded phenomenal. And I'm like, okay, I can see this actually working sound wise.
Okay. Fair. Alex, any thoughts?
So honestly, like, that's like the thing, like, I'm trying to like think about it. I feel like it could work. I feel like there'd be like, there are just like some great vocalists who can just like sing like Chester, but at the same time too, it's just like, it would just be hard to kind of like live out of that shadow. This is just like a hard thing when like, whenever the singer gets replaced, it's just like the singer is pretty much becomes the face of the band. And when you got like a new person with a new voice, I don't know, like we just see like a lot of fans just like, it doesn't feel the same for them. I'm not saying this is like a good or bad thing. It's just something I notice.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
See, I do lean more towards the fence that it could work with the right person. And like Alex, there's been a lot of speculation, both legit and insane, of who it would be. One of the big names that like the person themselves pointed out would be at least up for trying things out was Amy Lee of Evanescence. I don't know if that would work or not. That's a very unique voice already established.
She's like pretty operatic. Chester's like screams were like borderline guttural, you know? Like, I just feel like it's just kind of like a very What's up?
Amy did address it too. She was like, oh, I've heard these rumors.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah,
she has no plans of it. Yeah. And like she was never contacted by the band at all or anything.
Oh, I thought this was like, I didn't know she responded. And this was like a rumor.
She addressed it and she says she's not against it, but she's not been contacted by the band. Yeah. So.
Yeah, she was like, I'm flattered the fans would choose me as, you know, like an idea for this. And, you know, I met Chester once and he was super awesome. And I mean, yeah, I'm flattered. But no, that's not happening.
Right.
And honestly, I'm with Rowan on that. I love Evanescence and I love Amy Lee, and some sort of collaboration would be rad. But Amy Lee fronting Linkin Park, I don't think so.
It's a mismatch. And that's not
totally.
And that's not a statement of talent or just being a detriment to one group or the other. It's just saying it would not match that well. So
it would not work.
And also a good point about being more of a guttural performance from Chester Bennington, the way he shouts and screams, as opposed to someone who's really relies on clean singing. So who would that be in for lady singers in the rock and metal world right now?
It might just be because like I've just been thinking about them a lot, but oh my God, what's the singer of Spirit Box. Oh my God. What is her name again?
Courtney LaPlante. Yeah. Courtney.
I don't know. Just like she's able to go from like, you know, smooth vocals to like screams pretty good as well. Again, this is probably just because like, she's just like the closest, or like the first thing that comes to mind right now when I think like female hard rock singers, sure. But no, yeah, I feel like she would be able to hold her own.
I think she'd be able to hold it. I think it'd be rad also. I don't know if she'd want to like postpone all the Spirit Box freight train that's going on right now, especially with album coming out and stuff. But then again, if it's a Linkin Park thing, I don't know if she'd want to turn it down.
As a fan, I wouldn't want her to postpone any of the Spirit Box stuff either.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I was just like saying this is like, who would you think would be a good replacement?
Good example.
We're brainstorming.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this is too. This is just speculation. Also, as I say this name, there's a Gossip Girl fangirl in my house, as well as Alex, who's going to squee when I say the name. Would Taylor Momsen be a good fit for this?
Taylor Momsen would be good fit for anything.
Okay.
No, I don't
have a little bias. A little. So
I have a little bias. Okay. No, but I think that would be, so I think it would be super cool if we could take all of these ideas, all of these brainstorms, and have them do like one track each. Let's see what it sounds like. Let's see what it looks like. I know this is like total fantasy world, but that would be super rad. Get different takes, different inflections, different voices on these different songs and see what it comes out like. You know what I mean?
It would kind of be like what the Metallica did a couple years back, where they had like, it was the anniversary of the Black Album, and they had a bunch of bands like do covers of a bunch of songs off that album. And it was like a very like large variety. You had Ghost, you had Cage the Elephant. Those are just two names that came to mind, but it was like a whole album of just like other notable bands just performing
off
the Black Album. So maybe something like that, you know? This is all wishful thinking.
Can you imagine if they did that for like the anniversary of Meteora, or because it's already been the anniversary, like for Meteora Hybrid Theory, but they had like a different band cover each song? That'd be pretty nice.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's options is what we're saying. Let us know in the chat if you have any suggestions of who, because like the speculation and talk is, and it's going to be a lady singer. And I kind of like this also, so that way it's less of a direct comparison to Chester Bennington. You're going in something different enough off premise alone. Because if it was a lesser known talent or someone that's really known and established in heavy music, they're going to be compared to Chester Bennington, and 99.9% of the population on the internet would go, that's not the same as Chester. If you go this route, if you go this route, though, people are saying they're not trying to be Chester. It's just trying to do something that can go with the music. So,
yeah,
exactly. I like that. I like looking at it that way.
Going back to the original tweet, though, about like if this is alluding to like new Linkin Park stuff, I'm less inclined to believe it just because we had Paper Cuts come out just like so recently. Mm-hmm. I feel like it would feel like too soon or something that just like, I feel like there'd be more of a gap. I'm not saying this is just like for any reason in particular. It's just more like, it'd just be kind of like soon to release all the Chester stuff and then go be like, oh, hey, we're back and we have a new person. But here's the rest of the Chester stuff.
Yeah. And I get that too. So it's a good thing to have though. Like it's a issue that they've taken seriously. They definitely did not just try to fill in something over time. 2017, it's been over 7 years since we lost Chester. So it's definitely been a bit about a time. Someone just said Poppy. That might be, like, I'm not against it. That might be too much of insanity and taking the spotlight away. Then again, I'm totally up for a collaboration with that.
I want to see one track.
Yeah, one song. That would be great.
See one track from all of these people. This would be so fun.
Yes.
This is like their audition or something like that. We have like all these like performers perform the songs. And then like we just as a fan base just vote or something like that. You can make a show out of it.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a good suggestion from the chat from Metal Mations. Do you guys know the band Scowl?
Don't, but I saw that comment.
Okay, hardcore band. She's a great singer. She sings and shouts like a banshee. Hardcore punk out of California. They've done a lot of tours. They're blowing up. They were on a Taco Bell commercial, like their music last year. It did really well. So she would be a good fit. She's also a super activist, too, and is not stepping down to anyone telling her crap. So good for her also. That also. So
it's awesome.
Yeah. So good suggestions. Hopefully we'll get more new Linkin Park information soon. And this just wasn't a tease for Mike Shinoda's next solo project that's delayed 3 years or something like that. I feel like this was such a prominent thing that it has to be bigger news than we're expecting, because I think enough time has passed as well. And all of the band has made public statements saying they want to do something in the future. So again, cautiously optimistic, probably not going to be this month, so don't get your hopes up. That doesn't mean it won't happen, though. So
if maybe just like the last thing, if they were to all kind of come back together, do you think they would maybe just kind of like maybe out of respect for both the fans and Chester, they would just be like, oh, hey, we're back together, but we're like under a new moniker, maybe, you know?
See, it's five out of six are still there. And there was the same five out of six and everyone knows the situation. So I think it would be still Linkin Park's name. And people can disassociate with that. It's not so much the Pantera situation where they're not making new music. They're just touring and playing the old stuff. So I don't know. That's just my thoughts on it.
I think so too. I mean, Chester was the front man. He was the mouthpiece, you know,
a unique vocal focal point of the band as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I was wondering if this would be like an Audio Slave type of situation where it's just like Rage Against the Machine with Chris Cornell as the singer. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a super group at that point, though. So if it was an established name, I don't know. That it's good argument. I guess that's more of a gray area at that point, because Audio Slave was way different than Soundgarden and obviously Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
So.
Ooh, someone said Danny from The Warning. That would be fun to see. I would love to see Danny from The Warning front Linkin Park.
That should get a one song tryout as well. At least one song, not a tryout, but like do one collaboration and have have all three from The Warning there too, just playing with Linkin Park and do one song. I don't care what it is. So
all of these ideas are so good. We need it.
Good suggestions. So thank you guys for that. That was a good discussion without anything getting crazy or over the edge on that. Also, my wife turned up in the chat when I mentioned Gossip Girl. Glad to know she is listening. Thank you, Gretchen. So we now move on to a band I just saw less than 2 weeks ago. And I know, Rowan, you pointed this out as well. This was blown up yesterday and it does make a good statement. And I want to ring out what he has planned. One, Randall Blythe from Lamb of God, Pride of Richmond, Virginia, has a plan to combat phone filming at concerts. Now, before I read a statement, what his plan is, I want to give my thoughts on this, and then I'll let you two get your thoughts, just your statement on it. Cell phones at concerts. I'm fine with it so long as you're not blocking someone else's view, like you're doing the whole Hail Mary, hold up your head and people can't see. And also, as long as you're not recording the entire set. As long as you don't have to do those two, do whatever you want on your phone. I don't care. So
yeah,
okay, Alex, go ahead, give your short person defense on this if you would like.
So I'm short and somehow I always end up behind somebody who is just like this the whole time, and I'm like, dude, I can't see through your phone and I don't want to watch it this big when it's right in front of me.
Exactly.
And so I'm with you. Like, I am all for it. You can keep your phone, whatever, but don't have it out the whole time. Take a couple snaps and then put it back and enjoy the show.
Yes.
Stop blocking my view.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Yeah. When you're blocking other people's view, come on. That's easy to do. Just hold in front of your eyes and your chest. So,
go ahead. Just like, you know, in my opinion is just kind of like pretty much the same as yours. Like, I totally understand like both sides of the argument, because like I want to feel like in the moment and all that stuff. I don't want to worry about like capturing every moment. I want to actually like feel it and all that stuff. But at the same time too, it's like, I want to hold on to just like some memory. If it's like a, if it's like a band I'm really excited for and it's like a song I just really like from that band, I don't know. I just feel inclined to just like, I just want to I really do just want to capture this.
Even a song, really just like a, even one song, 3 or 4 minutes. That's not the whole hour plus show.
Yeah, no, it was like, I recent example, I saw Sleep Token the other month, and when they performed Granite, I was like, oh, hey, this is one of my favorites. I'm going to record this just so I can, like, rewatch it later, because I just love that song. And that was, like, the only time I took out my phone.
Fair enough, yeah. I know a lot of people, so Lamb of God noticed that as well, and Randy Blythe is getting real sick of it. As a fellow photographer, because he's big on photography as well, he notices it. He's seeing cell phones facing him. He's got a plan to combat all this. And I want to read this quote. I'm going to get your two thoughts on this, and everyone else is in the chat. I haven't done this yet, but I'm going to. As the phones come more and more and more, I'm going to walk out one day at a particularly phone-driven show, and I'm going to bring a stool, and I'm going to set it down in the middle of the stage, and after a song or two, I'm going to turn on my phone, and I'm going to point it at the audience, and I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to sing a whole song. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to do what, I'm just going to do what they do. And then at the end, I'm going to say, did you people enjoy that? No, I didn't either. So why don't we be here together? Put your freaking phone down. So the passive aggressive plan could pay off. I'll be honest, that is passive aggressive. But what do you guys think of Randy Blythe's plan of just bringing a stool out while everyone else is playing and he just holds a phone and records everyone while they're recording him, and he just kind of like sings the lyrics into the mic while not moving around?
I can already say, I can already say his plan is better than what Glenn Danzig of the Misfits did. So
Glenn Danzig is not a role model for a lot of things. I'm just going to interject that, but go ahead.
Oh yeah. Okay. So quick story. I saw one of the Misfits reunion shows back in 2018 at the Prudential Center. And Glenn apparently is very particular about no one filming at the concert, to the point where at the front door, you are to put your phone in this magnetic pouch. It's kind of like this like thing where the key is like, it's like those like security tags you get like at a store or something like that for clothing.
And
like
Jack Black, Jack White does the same.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so like it was that, and me and my dad like went in, and it was just like I could look at him, and it just bothered him and all that stuff, because he just like constantly checks his phone for like work and all that stuff, and this bothered him.
What if I'm
and
on course, call? Like, yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, no, it's just like but no, it was like, again, it kind of like took you out of it. Also, it just seems like, I don't know, just very controlling, which is kind of ironic for a punk band. And what was funny too is that like some of the people around me, they use like their car keys to cut a hole at the bottom of the pouch and just like take and get their phones out that way. Not even joking. And so some people were still able to get their phones out and they did nothing. Like, so really it was just more like, hey, if you can get your phone out, I guess you're fine. I didn't hear about anyone getting in trouble for that. So yeah.
Someone just brought up a point in chat, by the way. If Randy Blythe does this, he's going to get called a boomer. There's no other way around it. It's going to be a big boomer chance, probably. And as a fan of Lamb of God, I get his frustration. I don't know if this is the best solution. I don't know.
I think it's like
either way, like if a band goes so far and they're like, we don't want you to use your phones, put them in this little baggie and you can get it when you're done. Yeah. If they want it that bad, which I don't necessarily agree with that at all. I think everybody should have a little more self-control and not film the whole show the whole time. But if they did enforce that, I wouldn't be like that upset. I'd be like, okay, I'm here. I'm watching the show as a fan. I wouldn't like you telling me I couldn't use my phone, but I would be okay with not having it for a couple of hours. Like, you know what
if
I mean?
An emergency happens? What if something happens and I need to get on my phone? You know, it's just like,
but Glenn Danzig,
I don't know.
But Danzig, you know, it's like,
wasn't even a good concert. The mixing was horrible. Like, the only thing you could hear is Doyle's guitar. The only reason I knew which song they were playing was, again, Doyle's guitar. And because literally every fan would sing the lyrics because they played all the hits.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I, a good, I don't know if a compromise, but a good solution, at least somewhat. Tool's been doing this for years. No cell phones during the show. They don't make you put it in like a pouch, like magnetic pouch. No cell phones during the show, except for the final song. And Maynard will say, you can take your cell phones out now if you want to get shots and do this one. It's like he'll actually call it out and say, okay, now you can. That's not a
see that. I'm okay with that.
That is a much better solution than passive aggressive stool. So
I just think the stool is not as bad because, again, when I experienced the thing with the Misfits, it's just like in comparison, just being like it's just one song out of the concert and all that stuff. And it's just more like to prove a point, a quick point that he doesn't want to make the focus. I don't know. I feel like that's just at least like more understanding. I could be like, hey, this really does bother him. And he's just trying to really make that known, you know?
Gotcha.
And at least nothing is taken out of my control, I guess, you know?
I get what you're saying, yeah. So I put a poll in the chat. I think enough people have voted at this point. And it looks like, as it pops up, 69%. Oh, chat. Come on. 69% said sure.
So that's not adding up. That math's not adding up. 69% sure and 30% no. 90, what happened to the other one? Yeah,
it always gives a 1% margin of error. That's it. YouTube shenanigans. I will not explain YouTube. So also
one guy's like, I'm not sure.
Right. Also one person said the people that record like all the time are doing it straight to put it on YouTube. Like from their phone. I'm like, yep, that's right. That is exactly right. And again, one song, fine. The whole show, wouldn't you get tired of that? Wouldn't you get tired of like holding it up and just keeping still? I don't know.
By the way, real quick, the guy who said yes to Tool, no to stool. That was a good one.
Like the guy that said yes to Tool, no to stool.
What? That's good. Come on. You have no sense of humor.
Fine. Fine. You want to say I have no sense of humor? That's fine to me. So
you two knock it off.
Fine. Yes, ma'am. Okay. So good discussion on that, though. I wanted to bring that up because the plan was just too interesting. Also, check out Lamb of God Live. It's great. Great show. Them with Mastodon. They're still on tour. They'll be at Riot Fest. If you're going to Riot Fest and you haven't gotten tickets yet, get them now. I'll be there. You can see me. You can stop and say hi to me if you see me walking around with cameras. Riot Fest is awesome. Hopefully I get
to saw them open for Slayer. It was amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Lamb of God's always intense and a fun time. Moving on. We all got treated with Gojira opening the Olympics. Well, the closing ceremony happened and we got a different treat and a very different sound than Gojira with Red Hot Chili Peppers performing at the closing ceremony and advertising the next Olympics for the summer in Los Angeles. Did you guys see the performance?
I did.
Thoughts?
It was okay.
Because it was Red Hot Chili Peppers in California.
Yes.
I'm not saying the performance itself. I'm saying the choice.
The setting and situation. Yes, correct. Yes.
Yeah. The choices.
Okay, yeah. In that case, it just like, in terms of just like, not impact, but just kind of like how it sticks to me. I don't know. I feel like it was just kind of like basic. This is I'm not saying it was a bad performance. This is, when I say this, it's in comparison to Gojira's performance. They had like a Les Mis cover. They had, you know, they were like at a castle. They had a Viking ship. Red Hot Chili Peppers are just on the beach
in California. Yes, both. It really is the perfect bookends for representation of France and California. It could not have been more visually poetic and representative of the bands we're talking about.
Also, this is just based on just like their mainstream appeal. Red Hot Chili Peppers just isn't as like exciting of like a choice. You know, there's like the thing with Gojira because like it's just like such an unconventional thing. You wouldn't think, or no one would think, this would be like the Olympics first choice, you know, for a sporting event. Red Hot Chili Peppers are kind of like a, I don't know, I guess like a go-to for a lot of people. I don't know. I just see them like perform.
The stadium rock side of that really captures that and kind of fits with the Olympics. I mean, Red Hot Chili Peppers co-performed at a Super Bowl halftime show one year. And by performed, I mean they lip synced and played instruments that were not hooked up. But, you know, that's the Super Bowl. So.
And there's this one video of Flea playing the Star Spangled Banner on his bass at like a Lakers game. And he just goes really into the wah pedal.
That sounds right.
Like, you would think that thing owed him money or something.
That's not even the 100 weirdest things I've heard about Flea or any of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, by the way. Not even close. So
my favorite is that he has a beehive, or like he's a beekeeper.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Something also fun. A joke I saw that I do want to point out, because I made a joke about something related. In 4 years, in 2028, Anthony Kiedis's girlfriend will finally be out of college.
Ouch.
I can't feel bad for the man. He's 61 dating a 19-year-old, and this is not the first time he's done that over the years. So you kind of open yourself up.
Doesn't he have a son that's 15?
It gets worse than that. The Red Hot Chili Peppers Greatest Hits album is older than his girlfriend.
Oh, God.
Think about that. I also made the joke. Don't think about it too much. But you guys know the movie Blade Runner, the original one with Harrison Ford?
Of course. Okay. Of course.
When Anthony Kiedis was 19, Blade Runner came out in theaters. That's how long ago it was.
82, right?
Something like that.
That was 1982.
I looked up the year. I just know it was the same time. So think about that. Back in my day, Blade Runner came out in theaters, you know? It is just like, ugh, what?
What's Blade Runner?
Harrison Ford, the Star Wars guy, you know?
Indiana Jones.
Well, I mean, there's a new Indiana Jones movie that came out last year, too. So what do I know? Harrison Ford is definitely an outlier for longevity as well, so whatever.
Say anything that that Harrison Ford movie, you could have any time
for. It's decades worth of material. Also, someone just said, I read that scar tissue book, the autobiography. It was slightly revealing. That's putting it super politely and positively. Yikes. He was very open. Maybe could go to jail for some of that stuff, maybe. So
Editor had to look at that. Just remember that. An editor looked at that and said, good.
Can you imagine what the editor made him cut out? Woof. So cool to see it, though. I like when bands are getting the spotlights. And also, I will say this, though. The representative of it for France, Gojira, California, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then U.S., Snoop Dogg the entire time, and France just hyping up all the events he could. You know what? I guess Snoop Dogg is just the mascot now for the Olympics, and I'm fine with it.
He got paid so much for doing that. I thought he was just there having a grand old time hanging out in Paris, you know, doing Snoop Dogg things. He got paid.
Yeah.
Like, he got paid.
That dude,
yeah. Go ahead.
That dude is just coasting on life while high all the time, and everything is just working for him. I am completely jealous of that man.
Oh, he's been like that way for like the past 2 decades also. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter now, though. He has more money just from this year alone to have him coast for another 20 years.
Yeah, no, for real. I mean, like, this is like, what is this guy doing?
Honestly? His agent is amazing. That's all I know. So cool stuff for that, though. It's always good to see. I cannot play it because, again, Olympic footage is getting taken down still. Gojira, other just clips of stuff is getting taken down left or right on YouTube. So I can't play anything. Stop the Blade Runner slander. Oh, I wasn't slandering Blade Runner. I was just talking about it. And yeah, someone said $500,000 a full day. And he was out there for weeks. So
millions. He brought in millions.
And his work was just having fun and watching the events and being filmed, you know?
Like, you can just send me to Paris to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
Can I get that deal?
The three of us will save you guys money, Olympics. Next year, just pay us $5,000. That's all.
Yeah,
we're fine.
It's like one one-hundredth of the price.
Yeah.
It's a bargain.
See?
You get three people.
We're doing it for you. So
rock in Paris.
Yes. So up next, in another of many anniversary announcements, and I want to talk about a couple points on this one. Avenged Sevenfold has announced they will be doing their exclusive 25th anniversary club show at a small club in LA with $25 tickets to their Deathbat Club, which is like you pay for their backstage online club. Linkin Park has had one for years. Other bands do this too. So for starters, I think it's cool they're doing that, doing a stool thing. They're going to be playing events playing cuts from two of their classic albums, Wake and the Fallen from 2003 and City of Evil from 2005. The Observatory has less than 1,000 people capacity. This is a small club show. I like that they're doing this, but they're keeping it to their own already paying fan base. And this is the same fan base that is, there's no nice way to say it, the NFT fan base that Avenged Sevenfold was super into. And from what I understand, is still pushing. So I don't know all the details outside of that. If you have to buy an NFT with it, hopefully not.
Hopefully so this that's really over. Is just like marketed towards the sycophants, basically.
It's marketed towards the diehards. I mean, the true diehards.
The cult members, basically.
And again, I'm all for treating your fans to extra stuff. But the $25 show, if your diehard fans are not in L.A., well, they got to pay a lot more to get there.
If you're a diehard, you're willing to pay that money. Like, sure. Think about it. If you are a diehard fan, even if you live in New York City or whatever, you are willing to pay for that flight, that hotel, for that intimate setting. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty rad in itself. The fact that it's that intimate.
I mean, look at, I remember back on the Eras tour, people were literally bragging how much money they spent on a Taylor show on TikTok. And it's just good God, that is way more money than any concert should ever warrant.
And I will say this against my own point that I made. Avenged Sevenfold cannot control where their fans are. So they have to have a show where they're based at. And they kept the ticket price cheap and a good intimate show that'll sound good. I mean, they're going to redo the whole venue for it. So I think that's a pretty good idea on that part. I don't know how I feel, though, about it has to be already for the Deathbat fans that are already paying for it. And then they get it. I'm sure it'll sell out. And at that point, it's just going to go to scalpers. Because tickets like that are marketed at $25 can go for a lot more money on eBay. And that sucks, but that's just part of the system. So,
I don't know. I think it's kind of cool that because if you're already a part of that club,
right,
then you really, really love the band. So you obviously should get first dibs to go see that band. You know, I think that's kind of cool.
I do think it's a good idea overall. And also the show.
But then this is saying it's oh, yeah, you need credentials as a fan, which is just weird.
Yeah. I mean, but there's so many fans that are willing to do that anyway. We're willing to wear our own credentials and call out other people's credentials. The whole name three songs meme. I mean, we're all trying.
No, it's now you have to physically prove something. What do you want me to get an A7X tattoo on my body and just show you that?
Probably. But
yeah,
Deathbat's Club there. I said it properly. October 25th at the Observatory in Santa Ana, California. The tickets will go on sale. I'm sure it'll do well. And I hope it's awesome because that could set a good tone for other shows as well. If Slipknot wanted to do a stripped down show, club show in Iowa, for the 25th anniversary of Iowa, the album, they could do that. There's a lot of bands that could do stuff like that. So I hope it sets a good example of what to do. There's so many anniversary tours going on right now. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah, I think it was Kerrang who did this, but Kerrang had some sort of series where a band would a notable band would play a small venue show, but it would be oh yeah, these are friends and family of the band. These were people who were personally invited,
Yeah,
stuff like that.
I get that too. So more information for that online. Very side note: did either of you hear Avenged Sevenfold's album last year?
Oh, God, it was horrible.
See, you thought it was horrible. I didn't think it was that bad. There were a couple songs out there that I enjoyed, but there was definitely horrible stuff on there as well. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
So let me put it that way. I'm more on the fence on that one. So moving on, we now go to story time because I shot another concert and I want to talk about this. And it's a story you guys will dig. So Slipknot came to Baltimore this past Friday. They're on their Here Comes the Pain tour, 25 Years of Chaos. They're playing no new music. Music from before the year 2000. The Slipknot self-titled, B-sides, all that stuff. It's very cool. I got to Baltimore, and this show is with Knocked Loose and Orbit Culture. Loud, rowdy show, sold out crowd in Baltimore. They just sold out Madison Square Garden last night, by the way. Slipknot's doing pretty good in 2024. So, I get there. Only two photographers approved. And I'm like, okay, why? Live Nation rep, who shall go nameless, mainly because I can't remember her name, was filling in that day. And she goes, I'm not sure. They wouldn't even approve the Live Nation photographer or the house photographer for this one. To which I go, okay. So I was told that we'll be able to shoot the first three songs of each band. And then Knocked Loose says we could shoot from the rest of the house, meaning we can go from beyond the barricade after the first three songs. Live Nation rep goes, no, not anymore. No. What do you mean? What? Not anymore. No, that's the email that I got. The other photographer got. Yeah. That was a mistake. No. And then she walks away.
Wow.
So, right. So we go shoot Orbit Culture. They were fine. We come back. She goes, okay, you two wait here. Where she wanted us to wait, I wish I would take a picture, but I know this is like showing the back end of the arena. This is the loading dock. This is not like in a nice room or anything. This is literally the loading dock where trucks come in and out. And she says, okay, wait right here. Like, but I have a ticket, right? I said in my email that I have a ticket waiting for me. And she goes, you shouldn't. Go to will call if you have a ticket. So I put my camera.
So passive aggressive.
It was, but she was also super smiley about it. And she was like so distracted. Like, aww. I think she was filling in. I think she was kind of like chicken with the head cut off, not knowing what to do, just running around. So I take off my stuff, go to will call. There's no ticket for me. I walk all the way back. I ask her, the other photographer, hey, we don't have tickets. What's going on? Oh, I don't know. And that's it. That was the end of that. So I said, okay.
Like, what do you mean you don't know?
Right. So like, I was told I was going to go out and shoot Knocked Loose after three songs and see the show. And she goes, oh, I don't know. So Knocked Loose comes on. I shoot the three songs. And then she goes, okay, you two wait here. She leaves again. So I didn't even get to see the rest of Knocked Loose's set. That kind of sucked. And then it hit me. After three songs of Slipknot, she's going to expect me to leave. Because I don't have a ticket. No. Right? So I can't text Corey. He's a little busy, you know? Just a little preoccupied. So we go a good 15 minutes early into the photo pit right in front. I was really nice to everyone at the front barricade. There was a lot of nice people in Baltimore. A couple guys recognized me, which was really nice. I gave out stickers and stuff. I looked down. There's a VIP laminate on the ground.
Ooh!
I pick it up and I go, hey, which one of you dropped this? And one of the ladies in front says, we don't know. We think it was a crowd surfer. We all asked around and it's not any of ours. So I go, okay. I put it in my pocket. I shot the first three songs of Slipknot. It was excellent. Here's some of the photos. I put a short online too, if you guys want to see some of the video from it. So we start walking back to the loading dock. And the Live Nation rep goes, okay, I have to show these people around. This is where I leave you and say goodbye. You know how to leave, right? To which I say, yeah, I know how to leave. I've been here before. She leaves. So I bag up my stuff. I put my bag on. And I walk right through to the VIP area. And I still had my wristband on. And they go, yeah, come on in. So I went back into the crowd, just watched the rest of it, took cell phone stuff. I didn't take my cameras back out. No shooting, but I walked right back in. So that's my Slipknot story and what happened. Slipknot was great. And what could have been a disaster was very fortuitous because I found a VIP laminate from a crowd surfer that got thrown around.
That's some act of God right there, honestly.
Kind of. I would not have been a happy camper if they said three songs of Slipknot and get out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
I would just love to imagine that she just like sees you off to the side of the stage, like watching the show. Like, wait, what? What is he doing there?
Right. Like, and if that would have happened, I would have been like, I got a VIP. What are you going to do now?
Yeah, no, you just be like, you just hold up the devil horns like, yeah.
Yeah. So she was a very talkative, I think nervous talkative, that type of thing. But she was saying, I'm filling in for so-and-so. This is not my type of music. I'm more excited for Sabrina Carpenter coming and stuff like this. I'm like, oh, and you come in. And she's giving this like, so you're working on Slipknot and Knocked Loose, are you? Well, she's also the person. She was also the person that was running back and forth in the photo pit with her own cell phone out, getting footage up close and stuff because she thought it was fun.
Just like the whole like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. This is giving like such Dante from Clerks vibes or something like that. How he just never shuts up with that.
It wasn't even mean, though. It was just you could tell it was almost like the nervous, talkative. I don't know what's going on. I'm so preoccupied. I don't know what to do.
leaving you and just like, you know, throwing you under the bus is like, oh, I don't know how to solve your problem.
Yes. Goodbye. That is it. Yes, that is it. So. Yeah. But anyway,
someone tells her how to do it right next time.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope not. I hope something, some type of improvement should happen. That's all I'm saying. I was able to make a good situation out of it. I love the show. Everything was great. I think I got good photos. I have a picture of Corey that Corey liked. So everything else should be set. As I'm just clicking through photos right now. Anyway,
the old man. Awesome, by the way, with the dreads and everything.
Yeah. A lot of cool stuff for that show, too. It was intense. No pyro. They wanted to make it resemble what it was back in 1999. So it's a big stage, but it's meant to look more like what they were doing back then. Not pyro and the huge risers for the other percussionists. You know,
so I just imagine Sean is just like smashing a beer keg with a baseball bat then.
He did bring out the baseball bat or eventually. Yes. Yes. You can't.
Dang, dude, you got some great shots. Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been trying to do my best with my old gear. Everyone else is upgrading their cameras. I cannot do that yet. So regardless, someone just said I'm a rebel. No, I am not. I'm a good boy. Do not get that out. I am a good person. Thank you.
Getting rumors.
Yeah. Oh, there's probably a lot of rumors about me already. I'm fine. Nothing's going to hurt me anymore.
Okay, this one's fine. Let this one fly, Luke.
Right. So we now move on to briefly, because I know we're starting to run out of time. And we hit our goal, so we will be playing Festival Rock or Flop. Ooh. It's going to be ridiculous. Very briefly, I want to talk about one thing that Loudwire posted. Just a quick thing that they announced. The Big Four of Boomer Dad Rock Bands. Now, if you have a Boomer Dad, what would be your Boomer Dad's Big Four of those bands?
Okay.
Just take guesses. Okay, yeah.
Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, Aerosmith. What's a good fourth one? I would say Metallica. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Alex, do you have any guesses?
That's my dad, so yeah.
Alex, do you have any guesses?
Big Four for Boomer Dads?
Correct.
I don't know. I think I'm trying to accidentally go older. No, I guess these would be boomers. I'm going to say CCR.
Okay.
Zeppelin.
Okay.
AC/DC.
Okay.
I mean, I need one more. We'll just go Aerosmith.
Okay, fair enough. You guys had a decent amount of layout overlap. So, number one, the Beatles. Number two.
Like boomers?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Number two, the Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles. I forgot about the Eagles.
That's a fair one. I mean, that is fair. That was years after totally the fair. Beatles, too. Number three, Led Zeppelin. You both got that one right. And number four, the Rolling Stones.
The Stones, yes.
I gotta say, like, most of these were like a decade later than I would have thought. I was like thinking like 70s or something. Like 70s, like hard rock, you know?
Yes. Asterisk. A lot of these, some of these were 60s as well, though, like the Rolling Stones and stuff. So I cannot argue with their list. Does that make sense?
I don't know if I would have gone, big four for boomers. I would have definitely not said the Beatles myself.
Right. I would not have either. When it gets to the Fab Four territory of the 60s, I don't think of dad rock.
Yeah, no, I was like thinking like 70s harder stuff, you know, not Led like metal. But
like Led Zeppelin, like you guys were saying Aerosmith and stuff too. That would have been a better fit for what I was thinking for dad rock than Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts. You know, that just doesn't scream dad rock to me. So I don't know.
Yeah. If I had time to study, I would have totally said the Eagles. Like okay, that yeah. one. That,
the Eagles is a fair one. To be honest. Yeah. Yes, that's a huge one. Also, did they just
have the comments?
Oh, what's the comment? Oh, goodness. OK, everyone's saying Pink Floyd, Queen, AC/DC, Van Halen. AC/DC is the dad band. Yeah, very true.
I don't know. Van Halen's like late 70s, though.
Yeah, early 80s, late 70s. But
that hard rock is so iconic. That's like what people think when they think like hard rock 70s.
OK,
that era, you know,
I'll call it out just because of being a fan. Fleetwood Mac is awesome. Not a dad rock band, though. That would not be in the dad rock category, I don't think. So there's some good suggestions, though, in the chat, too. And also said some of these are pre-boomer. So what is that? The Greatest Generation? Isn't that what that is?
I felt like the Beatles would be too old.
I mean, they ended in 69. So Maybe it's right on that edge. No. I don't know. So I just thought that was worth pointing out. Something interesting. Let us know in the comments if you're watching this on the back on the replay. What are the big four dad rock bands? There's a lot of ground you could cover with that, too. So
a lot of people are saying AC/DC, Aerosmith, Zeppelin.
Yeah,
that's some solid. AC/DC was not on the list at all. AC/DC just seems like the
When you both said it, I'm like, wow, that does make a lot more sense, too, because that is the true 70s ski scumbag rock and roll that they would grow up and become dads with, you know?
Yeah.
So, totally. Yeah. Raised on AC/DC. So
I can say that from experience.
There you go. You turned out fine, right? See? So
marginally.
Yeah. So we go on to two tours that were announced this week. Alex, I'm going to let you take lead on this first one with the God Mode Tour Part 2.
Yep. So in this moment, just announced God Mode Tour Part 2. They're going out on the road with Kim Dracula, Nathan James, and Mike's Dead. Are you familiar with any of these?
Yes, tracks, Luke? I'm familiar with Kim Dracula because I've heard and seen some of the music. I remember playing that on a music nights when I was doing those streams. Mike's Dead is hitting a lot of the festival circuits lately. So I know of the names and I've heard some of Kim Dracula's stuff.
I've heard some of Kim Dracula's stuff, too, and it's actually pretty awesome. You know, yeah. It's not what I was to expect at all.
Yes, it's different. Yes. So
different for sure. But in this moment, currently is on tour with Ice Nine Kills,
yep.
Avatar and TX2. So this is going to take place after this tour wraps. So it's going to be fun. Check out dates.
Yes.
Catch them in a city near you. This is actually more on your guys's end of the country. So
it is starting in North Carolina, November 8th, going all the way to New Hampshire. December 7th. So it's coming around my area, but they came on leg one of God Mode Tour, I think. So might be coming up to Rowan's neck of the woods. Not really. No. OK, never mind. I just looked. New Hampshire, maybe. Here, yeah.
If it's out here, if it's within like 4 hours, you're fine. You can drive. But for you guys, you're spoiled.
We are.
What's the longest you'll go for a show?
So Baltimore is a weird one for me. So so Baltimore is 2.5 hours one way because of traffic, but it's less than 2 hours to get home. So I think that's probably the limit for me.
Okay.
The most I ever travel is like an hour and a half, honestly. And that's like, I don't know, when you think like round trip. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. I don't know. It's like, I don't know, like a round trip, 3 hours. I'm like, oh, that's sitting in a car for 3 hours. That sucks. It's just like, I don't know. I'm not as inclined. Crucify me for it. I don't care.
See, out here, like on the West Coast, we have more cities dispersed.
Yes. Far
from each other. So I would, depending on who it is, if it's up to like a 4 mile or mm-hmm. I mean, a 4 hour trip, 4 miles, well, if it's up to 4 hours, a lot of us are willing to. Do that.
Yeah. Fair. And you group up
4 miles
for one way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So
I'm talking one way, 4 mile or 4 hours.
Right. So I get that. See, on my own, I can do 2.5 hours. I think that's fair. I mean, when I lived in Florida, when I started doing Rocked, it was 2 hours to Orlando because shows only came to Orlando. That was the closest stuff to me where I was in Florida. Jacksonville now has venues there. That's where I lived. It was in Florida, the biggest city in Florida. Don't ever go to Jacksonville. It's rough. But still, that's the best you got. Other than Orlando, Tampa was like 4.5 hours. Miami was 7. And then unless you want to go all the way up to Atlanta. So that kind of warped my perspective. Then I went back to St. Louis and they got everything. And now I'm on the East Coast and we get everything. So, yeah. Wow. I'm getting the biggest stank eye from Alex just on camera for everyone listening right now. So
that's my happy face. What are you talking about?
Oh, OK. Rowan, though, however, is the champion. You don't even have to wait, drive an hour one way for any concert. That's pretty intense.
Okay, sorry. I don't know. It's just like when I see like it's like when it's like over an hour or close to 2 hours, I'm just like I don't know. I really gotta like consider it because like I don't know. I don't like going to concerts by my own. I gotta convince friends, you know. I gotta coordinate with people. So that
sure. Okay, so that's different to it. That is different.
Yeah.
Also, Gretchen brings up a point. We did travel to Hershey, Pennsylvania, which is awesome. They have awesome venues there. However, that was an overnight trip, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah.
And I was
with If I got people who are down for like a little road trip for a mm-hmm. concert, I'd be more inclined. If I'm just by myself, though, I don't know. That's just
sure. And I get
it's
that.
A factor.
Yeah. So we move on to the tour that got announced today. Knock Loose announcing a headlining tour off the back of supporting Slipknot. Again, they just played a sold out Madison Square Garden. Where's the graphic? This is a true hardcore spectacle featuring The Garden, Drain, and Military Gun. Drain had one of my favorite albums last year. Really fun stuff. Military Gun's great too. I'm not super familiar with The Garden. I'm probably going to get ripped apart in the comments for that one, but that's okay. Now, this is a true hardcore show. There will be crowd killers in the pit, and there will also be no deodorant allowed. So
just the way I like it.
We laugh and make jokes. I assure you, Axe Body Spray could set up like a little shop outside and they would not sell one can. Nope. No one would look at it.
As all dedicated metalheads, I think we are all used to the smell of weed and beer and BO all mixed together in just one place.
Yeah. When you start hitting festivals like Alex and I have, you'll all start to realize, wow, I can smell your stank outside in a windy, open air venue. How?
The dust and the BO.
Yes. Great. And that's like in the morning. That's literally before the stank. That's before the show even kicks off, too.
Step outside. You don't need your coffee. That's the way to kick off the day.
That is correct. You will be awake. Absolutely. Oh,
yeah, it's like smelling salts. Yeah.
Yeah. And also at a lot of the festivals, including DWP, other ones like Riot Fest, other big festivals, they give out free energy drinks like they were doing that at Sick New World. So BO energy drinks and overpriced beer and weed. And that's the scent that you're going to for these festivals.
I miss it.
Yeah. Where's that candle, Bath and Body Works? Festival.
Don't give me any ideas. I went to a Bath and Body Works once and they tried to push on me. Like the woman tried to like sell me a bacon candle. I'm not joking.
Would that be good or not? They have a lot of food candles. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's like the smell of like cooked bacon, you know, like you cook some bacon and just like it sticks in your kitchen. Think that smell, but that's the scent of the candle. So if you like the smell of bacon and after a while you're not nauseated or concerned about that smell still being there.
I mean, they have so many other food ones, like waffles and blueberries and lemon meringue pie and like all the other stuff. Bath and Body Works does not have a shortage of scents. So.
Yeah, no, but just like bacon is just like a weird choice. So I wouldn't put him out of the realm of possibility of doing a metal fest.
I think I just discovered a great collaboration with Bath and Body Works, the festival stank candle. Give it to your enemies and have them light it up in their house.
Can we just get sponsored by Bath and Body Works? And we just
yes, that and Old Spice deodorant, so that we could actually start getting people to wear deodorant, like telling people, hey, you know what's really cool? Hygiene. So
as long as they don't come out with a body mist, fine, whatever.
We'll see.
Skip the sweat. Just smell like it from the start.
Yeah, that's true. Just blend. It just kind of blends it. It blends in with the body spray. So it's just like all moist all the time. Yeah.
Gross.
I know it is gross. It happens. So that starts out in October in Columbus, Ohio, goes all the way through November, ending in Washington, D.C. at the Anthem. The Anthem is an amazing venue in D.C., and it will not be ready for a Knock Loose headline show. Like, it's too nice for a Knock Loose headline show. That's the best way I could describe it. So that being said, is that the Gwyneth Paltrow candle? No. That's not Bath and Body Works. That's totally different. Ugh.
Now, someone mentioned Goop earlier. So like, goodness. You know, look, better choice than the Goop candles, Rowan. Yeah.
goodness.
Goop is a whole new monster on its own. Yeah.
So we definitely hit our like count at 54 right now. We have 56 people watching. It's time to book a terrible festival or a great one with Festival Rock or Flop. Do you guys have the link up so you can see the pictures? I know there's a delay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just ready. Making sure. Okay. Yep. What Festival Rock or Flop is, we draw a festival at random, five bands for a one-day festival, then we poll the crowd, you, the chat room, to see if you would go or not. Thank you guys for playing with us. First up, before we go here, I just want to say thank you to Alex for making the very nice graphic right here. So, here we go. Let me see if I can mute this and do this right. Perfect. So, to prove I'm not cheating, like last time, you guys didn't see this, it's on the file finder right now. So, as soon as I hit select current folder, it pulls up the first image. So, is everyone ready?
Yep.
All right. First up, Queens of the Stone Age.
Okay.
You know what? Fine with it. That's a good festival band. Dead. Yeah.
Great guys. Drum Come intro.
On. Yeah. Good festival band. I'm fine with it. So let me go. Sorry. Let me get the dimensions right. It's always like a little wonky. Up next, In This Moment.
Okay.
That's not bad.
I mean, talking about them.
Yeah, we were. In This
Moment. Never heard of them. Have no context.
Okay. In This Moment, it has been around for a while. You would dig. They have a long variety of bands, too. Like, that was the God Mode tour we were just talking about. So.
Okay.
And right now, this was an Aftershock photo that I took. That was 2019. Aftershock 2019. Oh, nice. Yeah. So. Up next, number three. Baroness. I'm going already.
Yes, yes, so. Yes. I love Baroness.
Queens of the Stone Age, In This Moment, Baroness. I'm already happy. This is already significantly better than the festivals we had last week. So, mm-hmm. Number four, Chevelle.
Okay.
That's pretty solid, guys.
This is a solid
festival so far. So, number five. I don't have a drum roll queued up. I'll get the drum roll sound effect later. Number five. Alice in Chains.
I'm okay. In. Yes. Not even a question.
Yeah.
Not even a question. Baroness and Alice in Chains, like, and Queens of the Stone Age on top of that, I'm in.
I'll ask the question. I want to see what the percentage is. Would you go to this festival?
I already know it's going to be like 100 to
Alice
nothing.
Alice in Chains, Queens of the Stone Age, Baroness, Chevelle. Whoa.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah, this is a solid festival.
I don't know why anyone would not want to go to this one.
Poll is open. We'll leave it up for 1 minute. Would you go to this festival? Alice in Chains. We'll say Alice in Chains is the headliner. Is that appropriate?
Yeah, yes, that's fair.
Queens of the Stone Age, Chevelle, Baroness In This Moment. Oh, yeah.
See, Baroness is so underrated.
Baroness is. They're one of my favorite bands for a long, long time. And someone said this one doesn't need my poll. Take my money. 200% going. Chevelle alone sells me. There you go. Alice and Queens of the Stone Age. That's all I need. See, this is solid. Even if a radio station was able to get something like this, that radio station would be raking it in. So.
Yeah, no, this is what I said. We didn't even need a poll for this one. I'm pretty sure if I say no one's going to vote no, some troll is going to just say
it's
it.
True. Unfortunate misclick. Sometimes, you know, I've done that for myself. You misclick. No, I meant yes. I meant yes.
I didn't say no. I was Alice in Chains.
You don't see the poll? It should be up top. Everyone else has seen it. It's in the chat room right now. Alice in Chains and Queens of the Stone Age were my childhood. Yeah, you see, this is a hard one to argue. So, with the poll, a stark difference from last week, 100% yes.
Yay.
We got it. See how the game works when it works right? Wouldn't it be awful if we played one more time just to see how bad it could get?
No! Go out on a high note!
We did two last week just because it was the first one. If we do it again, people are just going to, like, if you'll we're be setting
spoiled.
A standard then.
You'll be spoiled, yeah. And I think this is a very, very good way to go out with this one. So, that being said, I'm not going to do a new one. We're not going to top this. That's the thing. If it was a middling one like last time, it's like, okay, let's try one more. But this is not going to, you're not going to get better than this. So. Thank you all for tuning in for the podcast, The Rocked, and checking out our festival. What would we name that festival? I don't even know. Alice in Chains.
Festival that rocked.
There you go. The festival that rocked. Let's just name everything about that the same, too. The drink that rocked.
Everything that rocked. Yeah.
The candle that rocked.
Brandy. Oh, that's the name of Festival Stank. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Can we just copyright the phrase blank that rocked?
Just, oh, yeah, that'd be work well. And just would anyone put that under there? That's ours. So.
Yeah.
I know.
I can see my old boss. He had a book that had that title, like, frame.
Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you all for hanging out with us. It stayed over 50 people watching the entire time. That is very cool to hear us laugh about Jared Leto working in Tron and 30 Seconds to Mars, all the way going to Randy Blythe's passive aggressive stool. Love Lamb of God, by the way. So before we wrap things up, I just want to give a little plug to a couple things. Number one, Ride Fest coming up next month. Please check it out. It's worth it in Chicago. Awesome lineup. Number two, if you haven't heard it already, we were reached out to last week for a new festival called Arklatex. That'll be in the center of the country, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas. They're booking a new heavy music festival next year, and they're getting the groundwork for that. So keep an eye out for that Arklatex Fest. Awesome stuff for that. Finally, new video that posted yesterday, or not yesterday, last week, talking about awful live TV music performances. There was a lot of good ones. And this upcoming week, I'll talk about the positive or actually good music performances on live TV. So we'll go in order. Alex, do you have anything you want to close with just in general before we get to your Alex's word of wisdom?
Nope, I think we covered everything.
Awesome. Rowan, how about you?
I just want to say one last thing. Yes to Tool, no to Stool.
Okay, I caught it. That was much faster.
You can't silence me.
Sure I can. The mute button's right there. I can do whatever I want. Yeah. So.
Tempt him.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, don't do it that way. So other than that, thank you guys so much for hanging out. We'll be back next week. Oh, no, we have. Oh, crap. I apologize. We forgot one thing. We have to do it quickly. Upcoming albums. I totally forgot.
Yeah. Ooh.
So
I won't say anything.
We'll go. No, you're fine. I'm glad I mentioned it. Someone else talk about it. Rowan, upcoming albums this week. What do you got?
Well, the big one we got this week is Falling in Reverse with Popular Monster.
I was waiting for the cue. So, but yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Didn't even finish my sentence. No,
I couldn't. I couldn't wait. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well,
so that's the big one.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the big one. This is going to be their first album in 7 years since 2017's Coming Home. And really, if I'm being honest, as someone who has looked at the set as the track list, this is really just like all the singles that have been released for the last like 4 years, plus like three new songs. So it's not really like a new album. Like you only get like a couple new songs. You pretty much just say this compilation at this point. But no, yeah, these are like all the songs that have been blowing up on TikTok. So
yeah,
if you liked any of them, there you go. There's a new way to consume. We got artists like Jelly Roll, Tech N9ne, and Alex the Terrible. So yeah, that's a pretty fun mix.
It's a hodgepodge of collaborations, which is fun.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, seriously. So if you're someone who enjoys going from country to death screams
in the same song.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So
I don't know why you would want that, but, you know, to each their own.
Yeah.
And just the other like the big name. I know he's not like a rock star and all stuff, but I will say this. He did start out as a guitarist for a metalcore band. That is true. Post Malone is making a country album called F1 Trillion.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, just like, you know, big name, figured that's worth the mention. Yeah.
Post Malone's having a big year with new album and all the Grammy nominations with his song with Taylor Swift. He's doing OK.
And also we had that.
He has the first ever diamond certified single.
With Sunflower?
Was it double diamond? Right?
I might have been double diamond. I don't know. I know, yeah, it's way up there.
Double diamond.
Post Malone. We think Snoop Dogg has money. Post Malone has that money, too.
Yeah, no, also, by the way, like, also going back to Alice in Chains, Post Malone also had that cover of Them Bones, which I will actually say I thought was decent.
I'm fine with Post Malone. The song he did with Ozzy a couple years back, it was fun. It's a raid.
Yeah.
So cool stuff.
Take
with that.
What you want.
Yeah. So anything else?
That's about it as far as like new albums go.
Awesome. Yeah. Glad I caught it. Thank you guys for reminding me.
Power.
Okay,
apologies.
Gotcha.
It was Sunflower. Yeah, it's the first ever Double Diamond certified single ever.
I thought that's what it was too, but I wasn't sure. And that's beyond an accomplishment. That's a first. So
it's wild. No,
I remember like that song came out with the Spider-Man, like and with the Spider-Man movie from a couple years back, and that's like my brother's favorite movie. So he played that song to death when that first dropped.
Gotcha. Very cool. Yeah. So I think that's about it. Thank you guys again for hanging out with us. Alex, do you have any words of wisdom that you would like to leave us for this week?
I do. If you need to work on your posture, okay, we all probably do. Mm-hmm. Just pretend that you're shooting lasers out of your nipples and the target is everyone's heads.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, The Rock, where we talk about laser nipples. Goodness. How? So does that mean if you have to take your shirt off, if you want to focus on your posture?
Why does your posture have anything to do with clothing? Luke, work on your posture.
Why do your lasers strip out of your nipples? your shirt's going to get ruined then. You're just going to be like two holes where your nipples are. Fashion That's even trend. Worse look.
You guys have no imagination.
Clearly, I'm the problem.